result of what we saw in chapter 16, 15,000, approximately 15,000 people had lost their lives. And so obviously great confusion had taken the camp, and there came a time here for God to restate exactly what the ministry of the Levites was to prevent this error from happening again. Now, that's really all that preaching is normally, is simply restatement of something that we already knew, or maybe something that we should have already known. Amen. And so, the Bible's not redundant, and we see the purpose here in chapter 18 for him doing so. And so, let's read this chapter together here. "And the Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. Thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. They shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren the Levites from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of their fathers, every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shall thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gifts, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee, and to thy sons, and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or of beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of men shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts thou shalt redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem, according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem, they are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet savor unto the Lord. In the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee and thy sons and thy daughters with thee by statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levite shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part there out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, When ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye in your household. For it is your reward for the service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it when ye have heaved from it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. All right. Now we might understand why the children of Israel were concerned in verse number 13 of chapter 17. Obviously, when they had came with this complaint unto Moses about him killing the people of the Lord, they had came to the tabernacle itself, the tent of meeting, and after learning what they learned in chapter 17, they realized that they had violated a boundary that they should not have violated, and were afraid that they would die. Therefore, the Lord restates the purpose and the ministry of the tribe of Levi. And so I just want to talk about three things quickly in this chapter. We note in the early part of the chapter, verses 1 through 7, he restates the role of the Levites, the different roles. Then he talks about, in verses 8 through 24, the rewards of the Levites for the service that they render, and closes then with responsibilities that fall upon the Levitical tribe. Now, this is a matter of mediation for Aaron, and something that the children of Israel must understand. And so the Lord here is restating the issues of the priesthood and the difference between Aaron and his family, who was a child of Levi, and the rest of the Levites. There was a priestly family, if you will. Then there was a Levitical family. And so these things had to be acknowledged and remembered. And so that was the problem that they had had with that man named Korah. And so what was the role of Aaron and his family, the priest? Well, in verses number 1, 5, and 7, we see that. They had the charge of the altar. They, as the Bible here says, were commissioned and charged to bear the iniquity, it is said there, of the sanctuary. Now, what did that mean? What did that mean? That meant that being the children of Israel could do nothing with their sin. They couldn't do anything with their sin. They had to have some place to take their sin. They had to have some way to deal with their sin. And God commissioned the priest to deal with the problem of sin. And so the iniquity, not only of the individuals of the nation Israel, but even the nation of Israel as a whole on the Day of Atonement, was an act of mediation by the high priest, standing as the daysman between the nation, the people, and God, in pleading their case and mediating for them. And so their role was the charge of the altar of the holy things of God, and the ministry of mediation and reconciliation and forgiveness of sins for the people. You see that in verses 1, 5, and 7. Well, we've already studied that in pretty good detail up to this point. God just simply restates it, and so there's no use in me expanding any more on that now. But let's go to talk about the ones who caused the trouble. And this is why God's doing this. It's because of Korah, who was a son of Kohath. Dathan and Abiram weren't even Levites. They were of Reuben. Of course, sought to exercise authority and action as priests. In other words, they took that upon themselves. And of course, that's not something man can do. He cannot take a commission from God. He has to receive a commission and a call from God. And so the Levites weren't charged with mediatory things and reconciliatory things. They were in charge of the tabernacle itself, the building, taking care of it. But not only that, but we find that they were also in charge of ministering to Aaron and his people, the priest there. Isn't that what he said in verses number 2 through 4? He talks about that, and he also talks about them being God's gift unto them. In verse number 7, in the middle, he said, "I have given your priest office unto you as a service gift, and no stranger was to come by." And he also mentions up in verse 6, I believe it is, yes, in verse 6 in the middle, he says, "To you they are given as a gift for the Lord." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the rest of the Levites. You had Aaron and his family, his sons who were to be the high priest. All the other descendants of Levi were Levites and were called and commissioned to be Levites. And their purpose and their charge was to take care of the physical aspect of the tabernacle and ministering or helping Aaron and his priests. They were God's gift unto him. Amen. And so, can you see the problem now that Korah had? Literally, they became servants unto Aaron and his family. So he more than likely had the same attitude that James and John had when they came to the Lord and asked to sit at his right hand when he came in his kingdom. And they began to bicker among themselves about who was the greatest among them. And so Korah didn't want to just be a servant of the high priest. He wanted to take the place of the high priest and officiate as the high priest, as though some glory was there to be possessed. That sin is the same sin which Satan demonstrated before this world and before you and I ever came along. He wasn't satisfied being there in the most holy presence and guardian of God's holiness itself, but rather he wanted to be God. He said, "I'll be like the Most High." Not like, he wanted to take his place, didn't he? And so we see here that the Levites, they had that role of ministering and taking care of the needs of Aaron and his family and whatever they had to have done or needed done with reference to the ministry in the tabernacle. So, if you go back later and look at Numbers chapter 4, you'll find that the Kohathites, from which Korah came, were charged with carrying, bearing by hand, you remember, the holy vessels of the tabernacle. The holy vessels of the tabernacle. And you'll find also there that the Gershonites were in charge with toting the coverings. You know, the tabernacle was nothing more than a tent surrounded with a linen fence and covered with skins and things. They were in charge of carrying and caring for those skins and curtains and all that appertained to them in the tabernacle. And then the Merarites were in charge of carrying and maintaining and setting up the structure itself, the poles and the pins and the rails and all of that that supported the curtains and the skins in the tabernacle. So everybody had a place. Everybody had a role. And as long as everybody did what they were supposed to do, then everything went fine. But if you let anybody get out of place and try to take something upon them that God had not placed them upon them and called them to do, then the machine didn't work right. So that's what happened in the incident of Corinth. Well, that could happen also in the church, amen. Every one of us has a gift. Every one of us has a place in the church to serve. And if we usurp one another's place and try to get things all turned upside down, then we can get in a mess. It's not such a problem here in our church, being that it is so small, but in some larger churches, it can be quite a problem, amen. That's right. We don't have much to do with that, but when you look at the number of Levites there were back in the beginning of the book of Numbers, then you can see where they could have had quite a problem. And so they had differing roles, and the iniquity of the sanctuary fell upon Aaron, and he was to see that that was not violated. And so it said here that not only would the offending individual die, but he would die also. And so this is a very grave thing here, once more, that the Lord is talking about. Amen. All right. Well, now let's move on from the roles of the Levites to the rewards of the Levites in verses 8 through 24. We saw certain things that they had a right to. And what was the reason for that? The reason for that was simply this: because they had no inheritance in the land. Whenever they got there, there were going to be 12 territories that were given to each of the tribes. You'll remember that Ephraim and Manasseh got that of Joseph, Levi being out, that still left 12. But Levi was not to have one. And so their inheritance, or their portion of God's inheritance, was to be what God described himself. But unless God performs a miracle, you can't live like that. We have to eat, you see. God can keep us alive if he wants to, but he just doesn't do that, amen. So they had to have something to sustain them. So they were given certain rewards, we read about here, for their service in the tabernacle. First thing we saw was that they were to receive what was called the heave offering. Do you remember the heave offering and the wave offering? The heave offering was done like that before God. It was called a heave offering. That simply acknowledged that this gift came from God, and that made the rest of the thing holy that it represented. Then there was the wave offering. A portion was took. The heave offering was always what? The right shoulder. The wave offering was always the breast. Wave offering, wave before God, acknowledged thanksgiving to God for that which he had provided. And so the first thing that we read about in verse 8 was the fact that the heave offering belonged to Aaron. Amen. The heave offering, as we have said, was the right shoulder. We also read that the wave offering belonged to him, which was the breast. The breast. And so these were, of course, desirable portions of meat. But they're also pictures of his service and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right shoulder always portrays or pictures strength. Of course, the breast always pictures love. Love. And so you can't minister. You can't minister if you don't have those two things. If you have strength but you don't have love, you can't minister. If you have love but you don't have strength, then you can't minister. It takes both to serve God. You need the strength because you have an enemy in this world. Amen. You have many adversaries against you. And you need love. Amen. Because love is of God. And this is the only place that you'll get it. So the heave offering belonged to them, that right shoulder, and the wave offering, that breast. And in verse 9, it says that the meat offering belonged to him, which was meal, if you remember. He received a portion of that meal whenever they brought it. And then in verse 9, it says he received the sin offering. Now, you'll remember the fat and the innards and all these things went on the altar to burn. But the what we would call the meat, the eatable parts in most of these carcasses, went to the priest and his family. And that's what the sin offering, the trespass offering, implies there. And so all of these things we see were for the sustenance, the living, if you will, of the priest and his family. But not only that, it moved from the meat in verses 12 and 13 unto the first fruits. He says there that the first fruits belonged unto the priest and his family. And so he not only had meat, but he had the vegetables. Amen. He had the oil. He had the wine that was given. And then verse 14 says that the devoted things belonged to him. Now, what was that? that were things that were vowed. In other words, a vow. When someone said, "Hey, God's blessed me. Whenever I go before the Lord, I'm going to give Him that new calf over there. It belonged to God." So the portion of that belonged also to the priest. Devoted things, consecrated things. And then he begins to talk about the firstborn in verses 15 and 16. And he talks about how that every firstborn thing, whether man or beast, belonged to the priest. And so here's a cow, the first calf that she has. Well, that would be brought to the Lord, but it couldn't be redeemed because, now look, bullocks and goats and sheep, they were used in what? They were used in offerings, amen. And so he would receive a portion of those when they were brought for offering, but whenever they brought all these other things that were firstborn, then the whole thing belonged to him. So literally, a Levite who would eventually live in the suburbs, remember, when they inherit the land, then he would have a little flock, and that would be the sustenance for he and his wife, his children, and his family, amen. And so he was received the firstborn, but not only that, for those things to be redeemed, which were the unclean, he was to receive the redemption money. Now, what was that? It was 5 shekels of silver, according to the weight of the sanctuary. A shekel was simply a piece of silver that weighed a certain amount. It didn't have anybody's imprint on it. It didn't look like a quarter or 50-cent piece. It was just a weight of a piece of silver. And so to redeem a firstborn son, if you had 5 sons, only one had to be redeemed was the firstborn, right? Well, then when he was born, then and when he was a month old, you would take him to the priest. And Jews still do this to this very day. They go through a ceremony of this redemption. He would bring that 5 shekels of silver, and that priest would then turn that firstborn baby back over to its mother and its father. Amen. Now, why was that? Because the Lord, all the firstborn belonged to him, because they were spared from the plague down in the land of Egypt. You will recall when we studied the book of Exodus and then Leviticus. And so here we see that the priest, Aaron and his family, received much meat to eat, much meal to go with that meat for bread, and much first fruits, vegetables. Now remember, this wasn't an all-time thing. That only came during harvest. So, you know, it wasn't like that was always coming. But when it did, there was a plenty. And that's why they had the feasts and the festivals. They had so much, amen. Then that was the time they had the feast of the Lord. And so they had these first fruits, and then they had a little money in their pocket. Amen. 5 shekels for every firstborn child throughout all of the year. Now, when you number the size of the nation of Israel, then the priest obviously was an individual who got, quite a few pieces of silver, wouldn't you think? Now, maybe that's one reason Korah would desire to be in that place. You ever think about that? I don't know. Amen. But money is one of the great motivators of society and religion. And yes, it is. And so you can see that God rewarded the priest, the family of Aaron, for their service of God. Now, you can read later on 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it talks about these things with reference to the New Testament. How that they that minister the gospel should live of the gospel. God's perfect will is that a man, pastor and priest, at that church support him. Knowing that's not always possible, even Paul said, I have not done that lest the gospel would be hindered as he went as an evangelist. But the point is that the same theme that is taught here in the Old Testament is also revealed in the New Testament. So you read it later in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. There should be physical rewards for spiritual ministry. And Paul deals with this. You can read this later also in Galatians chapter 6. He said that God's not mocked, whatsoever we sow, that we also reap. And he said, minister or communicate with him that has fed you in the spiritual things with carnal things. Now, by carnal, he didn't mean something bad. We think of the word carnal, but he's talking about physical things. Amen. There was a time when the circuit riding preacher would come through and somebody gave him a chicken. Well, that's a carnal thing. That's something that would help support him. And so this idea is not only known in the Old Testament, it also is known in the New Testament. Well, now, what about the rest of the Levites. We've already seen that there was a ministry for the priestly family, and that the Levites, the rest of them, fell into a different category. Well, what did they live off of? Well, if you read verses 21 through 24 again, you see that they received the tithes of the people. Now, all right, the priest received the firstborn of an animal, let's say. But now, that's the only one that's coming his way. This fellow's going to have bigger herds and more critters. And so he brings the firstborn to Aaron and his family, but then after that he will bring a tenth of all the others that are born each year, and they will go to the Levites. Now once again, when you number the tribes of Israel, you'll see that that the way that God had blessed them initially anyway, that would be a whole lot of animals. And so they were to eat of the tithes. Now, tithes not only consisted of animals, but it also consisted of wine. It also consisted of their oil. It also consisted of all of their, what we would call, vegetables, their harvest of grain. First fruits, which was the best, went to the priest, but then the tithe of all of the rest went to these individuals who were known as the Levites. And so we learn there that without the tithe, without the giving of God's people, there would not be any ministry. Later, if you like, you can read the book of Malachi. It's only four short chapters. You'll find that they had deserted the priest. They'd stopped bringing their tithes, and the priest had to go out, and the Levites had to go out into the fields and glean that which the poor people were to pick up and to live off of. What a confused society it became, and that's why God began to condemn it. And so there were rewards for spiritual things, for ministering in the spiritual needs and mediation and reconciliation for the nation of Israel. Amen. God intended for His ministers to be very well taken care of, and as long as the people were obedient, then they were taken care of. Amen. And so there were rewards, thank God. And there are rewards, many, that we could mention in ministry. But let's move on and just talk for a moment about the responsibility of the Levites. Those Levites that we've been talking about. Now, they weren't simply given a free ride to be sponges off of the people, you know, or off the labor of the people. They also were responsible to God. First of all, as we've already mentioned, in the burden of iniquity, in dealing with sin. But not only that, they also had to pay a tithe. Amen. They also, whenever the tithe was brought to them, they had to take 10% of that which the people had brought and offer it also unto God. Is what did he say? A heave offering unto God. And so he was not exempt. Amen. He also offered it unto God. Who got it? Well, the priest got that also. Amen. The family of Aaron. And so there were responsibilities. That would be do no good for me to talk about giving to you if I didn't give myself. I mean, would that not be hypocritical and downright mean and selfish for me to urge other people, now you need to give so that we can do this and do that, and I don't give myself? So that's exactly what it is. Ministers also are not simply to be given to, but they were to give themselves. And of course, that heave offering was done to acknowledge that the source of every bit of it came from God. We have to realize that we are not owners of all that we have. We are simply stewards of all that we have. And God has commissioned us as stewards to use 10% of all that He has given us in the ministry or the work of the Lord. So they had responsibilities also to go along with their tabernacle work there. And each was to maintain and pursue their own place in service of the tabernacle and of Aaron. But what I want you to see in this chapter really is what we ought to see in everything, and of course that's the Lord Jesus. Here we see a beautiful picture of the priestly character of the Lord Jesus. Let's just compare some of the things that we see about the priestly family here in the Levitical worship and work and the Lord Jesus. First of all, in verse number 8, we see that He has charge of all the holy things. Aaron was not only responsible for handling the holy things himself, he also was responsible for seeing that nobody else handled them that wasn't supposed to. Amen. There were two sides of that thing. And so I want you to know that all the holy things that God has and that God has done is in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Read Hebrews 1 later on, and you'll realize that He not only is the source of all creation, the creation of God, He's the very sustainer right now of God's creation. And He's in charge of all the things of God. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1, He said, "I'm He that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell." He has the keys to heaven and earth and death and hell. Neighbor, He's in charge of everything. God's put it every bit in His hand. Amen. He sure has. Not only that, we see in verse number 8 also that Aaron had a special anointing. And that's the reason, amen, for some of these things. It said because he had that special anointing. You will remember the anointing oil that was poured upon him and that ran down into his beard. And that anointing set him apart by the grace of God to be the high priest before the people. So Jesus, whenever the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible said he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Holy Spirit, but then 30 years later when he was baptized, he was anointed of the Spirit in a special way when the Spirit in the form of a dove descended and lighted upon him. In John 17, he said, "I have finished the work that you gave me to do." Jesus was God, he was man, but he was a special man. And he had a special anointing on him. Amen. That we don't have. No one else has ever had. Amen. Because of who he is. But not only that, in verse 10 we see that Aaron had the privilege of eating in the holy place. Amen. He had the privilege of eating in the holy place. Amen. He had a special place to eat. Praise God. And that was with the Lord and in his place. You remember there was a time when Jesus said this. He said, "My meat and my drink is to do the will of God." In John chapter 4, when they were there at the well, the disciples left him with her to go into town to do what? Get something to eat. When they came back, he wasn't going to eat nothing. They said, "Aren't you hungry?" In so many words, he said, "I have meat to eat you don't know anything about." Amen. Aaron was able to eat with the Lord, and that was part of his joy. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. His desire and his satisfaction was to do the will of his Father. Not only that, in verse number 15, we find that Aaron had the charge of redeeming the unclean. Amen. Amen. Those cleaned animals were used in what? Sacrifice. But the firstborn of unclean were redeemed, if you remember. Well, now, isn't that a beautiful picture of you and I? Amen. We were condemned and unclean, as the old gospel song says, but he redeemed us and made us righteous with his own righteousness. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, he said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin." So as Aaron redeemed the unclean, so the Lord Jesus, as high priest of God, redeemed you and I, the unclean. Not only that, but verse 6 says that Aaron had many servants. All these other Levites were to be ministers unto him. Well, so the Lord Jesus also has many servants. One of the titles of we who have been redeemed and saved is that of servant. Amen. He being the high priest, Aaron being the picture, we who have been saved to serve him, amen. He saved us. That doesn't make us greater than him, does it? No, he'll always be greater than us and worthy of our service and of our hearts. Neighbor, that's what eternity is going to be about, amen, in our relationship to him, in loving him and serving him and praising him forever and ever. The Lord Jesus in John 17, he said to the Father, he said, "Keep thine own, which thou hast given me." Amen. He said, "These are mine because you gave them to me, O Father." Now, didn't he say in verses 6 and 7, verse number 6 here, that these Levites were a gift of God to Aaron? Amen. And so God will present you and I as His bride as a gift to Him. Amen. At that great marriage place. Amen. In glory. But not only did he have many servants, but the seed of Aaron was blessed in him. Amen. You see, all of his descendants, it says in verse number 19, they also would receive this blessing. It's referred to there as a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. Now, what does it mean, a covenant of salt? Salt, of course, is a preservative. And all the offerings of the Lord were to be offered with what? With salt. And so salt is seen as something that is enduring and carries on because it cannot corrupt and it is stable. And so he's saying here, and because of this covenant of salt, that it will be passed not only through Aaron and Eleazar, but to all of his seed. And so we who have become the seed of the Lord Jesus, amen, have been blessed in Him. Ephesians 1 again says that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. We've been blessed in the Lord Jesus, even as His Aaron's sons were blessed in Him. Finally, we see that the priest and the Levite found their part, their portion, their inheritance in God alone. They weren't promised anything of this earth, no lasting place to set their foot, no lasting place to set their table. Sure, God promised them and provided for them such as they needed to live from day to day as far as food and clothing went. But I want to tell you something. They never had a piece of ground they could ever say, this is mine. They never had a place that they could say, this is my parcel. This is my home. You know why? God said that your inheritance and your part is me. Well, so it was with the Lord Jesus. He said one time, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus was rejected by his family, at least at the first, until after the resurrection. Rejected by his nation, by his brethren. He had to leave home and work out of Capernaum. Nazareth was his home. They ran him out when he preached his first message. He had to go to Capernaum. He wandered all over the land of Israel when he sent out his disciples the first time. You remember what he said? He said, take no scrip nor no money. That's what he said. He sent them out like those priests for whoever would receive them to feed them and take care of them. And that was a custom in that day, and we see it demonstrated through the Bible. But now the Levite found his part, his inheritance, his portion in the Lord God alone. In John 17, there he prayed also. He said, glorify thou me with thine own self. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible makes it plain in the letters that Peter wrote in the first chapter of the book of Revelation that God has made us a nation of priests and kings. Therefore, my friend, I want to tell you something. Our part and our portion is in Him. It's not in this world. I mean, we have places we can call our home. We have possessions that we can call ours. But now I ask you, are they really ours? No. Only for a short period of time. Why? Because they're temporal. They decay. They corrupt. And they'll pass away. But I want to tell you something. Whenever all this world passes away and everything that's in it, like the Bible says, what are people going to have that don't have God and their portion's not in God? Or when your portion is in God, you have everything else you could possibly need. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He said all these things will be added unto you. And you go back and look, He talked about food, clothing, and shelter. That's all He promised you in this life. I've got more than He promised me. You've got more than He promised. We've got more than anybody could really want. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's all nothing when it's compared to what He has prepared for His people. And so He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Amen. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He is our portion. Why? Because He's prepared an inheritance for us, praise God. He's got something for us, neighbor, that won't ever pass away. It'll endure the test of time. Neighbor, it'll bring joy that we've not ever known in this life. And so, I want you to know something. Amen. Sometimes it do us good, just like God restated the ministry of the Levites here, to just let God restate to us what He's promised us and what He's called us for and what He's done for us. Glory to God. We can do that. Then perhaps, neighbor, we won't be making mistakes like they did all over again. Amen. Just keep on going for God. Isn't it good to know that God loves us? Will you stand with me? We'll pray as we dismiss.